I also have a friend who is a chef, and she's a culinarian. That's what they, I guess that's what they call foodie people, culinarians. I think Ryan's somewhat of a culinarian himself, likes to cook, into food. And my friend who's a chef is always talking about the latest and greatest things, the trends in eating, and she's a great critic when she goes to restaurants and eats, and she spends a lot of time watching the Food Network and all the shows that are on that. So if you talk to her, obviously she's going to talk to you about food. I also have a friend who is an automobile lover, just loves cars, anything about cars. And if you're driving down the road, can tell you the make and model of every car that he sees. And he, of course, he gets Car and Driver magazine and Motor Trend and loves to see what the latest and greatest is happening with cars. And then, of course, I have several friends who are educators or former educators. And when you get teachers together, guess what teachers are going to talk about? They're going to talk about school and their kids and classes and classroom management and things like that, talk about education. So thinking about that, let me just give you one more statement. I have a friend who's a Christian. What does that imply? What does a Christian talk about? Well, you know, I hate to say it, but sometimes Christians, when they get together, they talk about sports and movies and what's on TV and the latest entertainment, and they'll talk to you about anything and everything but spiritual things. And that's not the way it should be. We need to be spending more time talking about spiritual things instead of things that are physical on this earth. You know, we all know whatever interests us is what we constantly think about. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 21, our treasure, where our treasure lies, that's where our heart will be. And Solomon taught in Proverbs 23, verse 7, that we are what we think about. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So we need to spend a little time tonight talking about thinking like a Christian. I know that I need this lesson, and I'm hoping that we all can benefit from it. But this is for me, too. I need to spend more time thinking about some things. So I have a list of things that we need to think about or ways we need to be thinking when we're talking about thinking like a Christian. Now, because you're here, I'm assuming that you love God and you love spiritual things. And that's a good thing. This life is a journey for a Christian. So let's see how we're progressing on the journey and look inside our heart to see how we're thinking. I want to begin by reading this quote. There is one thing for sure in your life. 12 months from now, you will either be better or worse. You won't be the same. Think about that. 12 months from now, we'll either be better or worse. We won't be the same. It's impossible to think and be the same. You have to either be getting better or just gliding along, which is worse. Will it be a roller coaster ride to what you want? Will it be two steps forward and one step back? Or will you have consistent progress toward your spiritual goals? What's holding you back from spiritual growth? What's holding you back from growing in practical wisdom, marital bliss, successful parenting, or building credible relationships with others? Many people think it starts with what you do, but they would be wrong. Actually, it starts with what you think. So let's talk about thinking like a Christian. So here's the first thing we want to think about. We want to think about scriptures. I'm really happy that Ryan preached that lesson this morning about the Berean mindset. That's the mindset that I've seen since we've been here. There's been so much emphasis on scriptures here. We only want to do what God wants us to do. And the only way to find that out is to spend time in the Word. And so I'm really appreciative of a congregation that focuses on the scriptures. David said in Psalm 119, verse 97, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. So not only does he think about the scriptures when he was writing that, he meditates on the scriptures. He dwells on spiritual things. He spends his mind thinking about scriptures. Some of us are memorizing scriptures here, and I know we all have an assignment to memorize some scripture, those of us that are in the adult class, and that's a good thing. Memorization is good for you. It's good for your brain to think about some of the Word of God that you can recite without turning to it in the Bible. Let me ask you this question. What difference would it make if you started every day by reading some scripture before you started your day? Would that not make a difference in your life? It would be a good thing for us to wake up in the morning and spend a little time in the Word before we get on with our daily duties. So to think like a Christian, we need to think more about the scriptures. Next thing we need to think about is we need to be thinking about heaven. If we look in Revelation 21, we know there's a description of heaven there that God gave to John, and he wrote that down, and it's in human terms, so we can somehow grasp the beauty of heaven. And he describes things like the gate made out of pearl, and the gold, the streets are made of gold, and all the different fine jewels and things that are made to build the city. And of course, we know it's not literally made of gold and pearl and jewels. We know that it's far more beautiful than that. But that's the way we can perceive heaven in our minds. And we need to spend more time thinking about that. If we spend more time during our day thinking about heaven, then that helps us set that goal for ourselves, doesn't it? You know, when someone is starting a journey, or maybe we're going on vacation, we do a little bit of planning when we're going to go on vacation, don't we? We don't just all get in the car and say, okay, where are we going? You know, usually there's a lot of planning. And if you have a specific destination, then I like to learn as much as I can about that destination so we know what to do when we get there. That's the way we do our vacations. If I was going to go to Yellowstone Park or go down to Disney World, I'd do a lot of research and try to figure out where's the best place to stay, where are we going to eat, what are we going to see while we're there. That's pretty natural, and it takes some planning to do that. And how much time do we spend planning when we take trips like that? We spend quite a bit of time planning. Well, in this life, we need to be planning a trip to heaven, because this is what this life is. It's a journey that way. And so we need to get heaven set as a goal, and we need to be working on being there. You know, we sing the song, Sing to Me of Heaven. Great thought to think about. Thinking about heaven is a positive motivator for me to want to do right. I want to do right because I want to go to heaven. That's positive. On the other side, we need to be thinking about hell as well. You know, if heaven is a real place, then hell is a real place. Matthew 10:28 says, this is Jesus speaking, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. We talked about in Revelation 21 the description of heaven. Well, in Revelation 20, there's a description of the judgment scene and hell, the punishment that we receive for not obeying God's will. In Revelation 20, 12 through 14, John writes, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Think about all of the occupants of hell. Think about the people through history that we know are going to be there. Do I really want to be there with them? Do you want to be there with them? So when we think about hell, that's a negative motivator for us to want to live right. So we've got heaven as a positive motivator, and we've got hell as a negative motivator. God provided two ways for us to think about him, love and fear. And so we think about the love of God in heaven, and it motivates us to want to do right so that we can be there. And we think about the justice of God and hell and torment, and we're motivated not to be there. And so we focus on living right and following God. Another thing that Christians need to be thinking about, or a way we need to be thinking, is we need to be thinking soberly. You know, the common definition of sober today is just simply not drunk. That's pretty much how we use it. If you're not drunk, you're sober. And there's other definitions like that. Actually, the Bible treats it that way a little bit too. In Ephesians 5:18 says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So we understand that one. But let me give you the definition of sober that's out of the dictionary. It says, marked by sedate or gravely or earnestly thoughtful character or demeanor, marked by temperance, moderation, or seriousness. So there's a couple of passages. Actually, there's quite a few passages that talk about us being sober or living a life that's sober. Romans 12:3, Paul writes, "For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." We need to be thinking seriously, soberly, about serving God and about how we're doing as we serve him. Titus 2:12 says, "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." So life is not supposed to be fun and games all the time. When I was younger, I used to think it should be. It's okay to laugh, but thinking soberly helps us to understand the true meaning of life and finding everlasting happiness. Now, that's fun. So when we're thinking soberly, we can find out what true happiness really is. So as a Christian, we need to think soberly. Well, it almost goes without saying, but as a Christian, we need to spend time thinking about Christ. Now, you could spend an entire lifetime making a study of the life of Christ and thinking about all the things that he did and said. Jesus said in Matthew 11:29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." Isn't that interesting that Jesus said, "Learn of me"? That's our goal. That's what we need to do, is learn about Christ. So we need to spend time thinking about his life, his teachings, his love, his sacrifice. You know, we think about his sacrifice every first day of the week, and we automatically think about his love because of that. Thinking about his death, and thinking about his position as king of the universe, because Christ is our king. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. We certainly need to learn of him. So that's something that Christians need to be thinking about. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 25, Paul writes simply, "Brethren, pray for us." So that's the next thing we need to be thinking about. We need to be thinking about our brethren. Galatians 6:10 says, "As we have opportunity, therefore, let us do good to all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." So we need to be thinking about our brethren. We need to be thinking about, in this church, we need to be thinking about the elders, the deacons. We need to be thinking about Ryan and praying for them and praying that we're serving God to the best of our ability. We also need to be thinking about each other and how we can encourage each other or one another as we build our faith. And we also need to be thinking about brethren at other local congregations who are standing for the truth, who love the Lord. We need to be thinking and praying about them for their strength to stand up in times of trial and that they would be edified and they would grow. And not only locally thinking about fellow Christians, but we need to be thinking about brethren all around the world who are struggling to serve God and praying for them that their life of faith will not be extinguished, but they will shine like a bright light in the world and that God will provide them opportunities to share his word with others. So we need to be thinking about our brethren. The next thing we need to think about is bringing others to Christ. You know, I started off by talking about all these people that I know that love these different things. Well, if you love something, then you're going to tell people about it, right? If you go to a really good restaurant and you had a really good experience, you're probably going to tell somebody about that. And it's the same thing with Christianity. You know, if we love God, if we love the Lord, and we love serving him, we should want to share that with other people. When was the last time you thought about someone as a possible candidate for the gospel? You know, we're focusing on evangelism this year, and I love that we're doing that because it helps me shift my mind into I'm just serving God to the best of my ability to, yes, I'm serving God, but I also need to be reaching out to others. So we need to think about bringing others to Christ. Do you look for opportunities to help other people? or to teach them and invite them to worship with you? Do you look for opportunities for that? How about this? Do we pray for opportunities to do that? I've heard a few prayers where we have, and we need to do that. We need to continue to pray for opportunities that we can reach out to other people. Colossians 4:3, Paul writes, "With all, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ." So we need to be praying and thinking about bringing others to Christ. Well, we need to be thinking about death. Now, that's an interesting topic. Most people in the world don't want to think about death, but it's actually a good thing. Do you ever go to funerals? I would venture to say yes, that most of us do. Thinking about death is good, and here's why. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 2, we all know this verse, it's better to go to a house of mourning than a house of feasting. And he doesn't just stop there, he tells us why. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. It's good to think about death because we're all going to die. And we need to prepare for that, just like we need to prepare for heaven, right? We need to prepare for our own death. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and then after that, the judgment. So we need to be thinking about death. That kind of goes along with thinking soberly, doesn't it? But it makes us want to live right. When we know that death is coming, we want to make sure that we have our affairs in order and we're serving God to the best of our ability. Well, we need to be thinking about these things, and we need to be thinking about them often. It's good to be thinking about spiritual things. It's good to be thinking about Christ and these other things that we've talked about, our brethren. But we need to be thinking about them more often than what we do. You know, the average person thinks 2,000 to 3,000 thoughts per day. I thought that was interesting data. The average person thinks 2,000 to 3,000 thoughts a day, and extremely busy days, maybe up to 4,000 thoughts. Whatever you think about most is your life focus. We all know that in theory, but do we really believe it? So what are you thinking about most often? That's a really good question to reflect on. What am I thinking about most of the time? Are your thoughts physical in nature, or are they spiritual in nature? You know, God has given you the free will to think anything you want to think. He's given us all free will to think about that. But he gave us his word to help direct our thoughts. So there it goes, circles back around to thinking about scripture and thinking about spiritual things. So if we make it a habit to think more often and soberly about the scriptures, heaven, hell, Christ, our brethren, death, and others, then we're moving ourselves into a spiritual direction toward our ultimate goal, which is eternal life. So let's think about spiritual things more often than what we do. The last point I want to make is we need to be thinking about our spiritual condition. And to make this point, I would like to read from Psalm 139. If you want to turn over there, I'm going to read quite a bit from Psalm 139, almost the entire psalm. How often do you think about your spiritual condition? What is my condition before God right now? Because if I don't know my spiritual condition, God does. And it's really important for me to know my spiritual condition. Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and you laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Just think about that. God knows every single thought we have and every word we say before we say it. That is something really sober to think about, isn't it? Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they are all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. Look down at verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We really need to be thinking about our spiritual condition, because God knows exactly what our spiritual condition is, and He wants us to be saved. He wants us to be His children. I love how he says, how precious are your thoughts to me, O God. That's amazing to think about, that God thinks about us and he wants us to be his faithful, loving children. That's an amazing thought. So we need to be thinking about our spiritual condition. I want to close out by just going to scriptures and looking at a man who was thinking about his spiritual condition. If you go into Acts chapter 8, you remember the Ethiopian who was traveling along reading scripture, and then Philip the evangelist came up to preach to him. It says in verse 35, Acts 8, 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, well, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Here's a man that knew what his spiritual condition was. He heard about Jesus. He responded to the preaching about Jesus. And when he was baptized, it says Philip was caught away, but the eunuch went on his way rejoicing because he once again knew his spiritual condition. So what's your spiritual condition today? I want you to think about that. We have an opportunity now to make our lives right with God. And we need to be thinking about that. If you need to respond to the invitation, come now while we stand and sing. Broken heart, so marred by sin, he will.